Coming up next on The Voice of Alabama Politics, Senator Shelby says farewell. Also, a lawmaker says CRT is about sex. And the cat ladies are convicted.
He's a gangster and a rat.
He ain't no gangster. He's a real old-time desperado.
You better watch out for the cat ladies. They're hard cases. All of this and much, much more coming up next on The V.
This segment of The Voice of Alabama Politics is brought to you by the Alabama Rural Broadband Coalition.
Welcome to The Voice of Alabama Politics, where we tackle the tough issues so you have the hard facts. I'm your host, Bill Britt, and today I'm joined by Susan Britt, research guru extraordinaire, and Josh Moon, columnist and investigative reporter at APR. Welcome.
Hey, guys.
Hi, guys.
Josh, it is Christmas Day, and you are in the spirit, man.
I'll always in the spirit. I've been in the spirit for weeks, baby.
That's great. That's great. That's great. That's
right. Well, I'm like Clark W. Griswold over here, buddy. I've got the 25,000 twinkling lights on the house. Got the moose cups out. Got the whole family over. We're ready to roll, buddy.
Oh, man. I know that's right. I know it and love it.
And nobody's walking out on this good old-fashioned family Christmas. No, sir.
Oh, man, that is so good. That is so good. Well, you got a beautiful family, and it's been a beautiful Christmas as well. Hey, I want to talk real quickly about the Department of Corrections. You know, over at the Department of Corrections, we have an epidemic outbreak of drug use in the prisons. The drugs are coming in by the barrel load. People are ODing, all this stuff. And yet, the Department of Corrections had time to take out of their busy schedule to go basically raid a couple of high schools over in Monroe County to sniff out drugs. And they found
nothing. I mean, this is just, you've got all of this rampant drug use and overdoses in the prisons. They're not putting any resources toward that. Yet they devoted all of this personnel and all of these other resources. I'm sure there were drug sniffing dogs, et cetera, involved for nothing.
Josh, is this not just typical of how Alabama Department of Corrections actually works?
Yeah, well, the reason they didn't find anything there is because all the drugs are in the prisons.
And it's terrible.
The way that it's working.
As funny as that is, that's pretty much the truth.
It is true, though.
You're right. We have overdose deaths in prisons, weekly at this point, not multiple deaths per week in some weeks. And it's gotten to levels of absolute absurdity at this point with the amount of drugs that are flowing into our prisons. And, and we pretend like we don't know where they're coming from, and we absolutely know where they're coming from because we saw during the pandemic that drugs were still flowing into the prisons, even though they cut off all visitation.
Sure.
And so we know the only people who are coming and going at that point.
Right, and that is the problem, Susan. And you can go all the way back to say, well, these correctional officers and the people who work in the prisons are underpaid.
They are.
They are. But
sure
again,
they are.
If they're bringing in hard drugs. We're not talking about just bringing in a little weed. We're talking about fentanyl stuff, cocaine, amphetamines.
Right.
And
they can't figure it out.
No.
These people come. We've been to these prisons. You come in and out one checkpoint. All right. One checkpoint. Everybody comes in and out of that prison, and they can't figure out how to track it coming in.
They can't put these drug-sniffing dogs there. They don't want to do that.
None of this makes any sense.
It's
like this story was one of those stories you read, the first couple of sentences, and you're like, this can't be right.
No.
There are so many problems at your house. It's the old adage, sweep around your own doorstep first. And it's, I don't, Maybe they saw it as a training. I don't know. I mean, maybe they're practicing on younger drug dealers before they go after the more professionals. I don't know. Yeah. But it's, I don't understand why we cannot correct what this obvious problem that we have in our prison system, and why we continue to throw money at things that won't necessarily fix this. Instead of throwing money at the things that are the huge, most obvious problems that we all see every
day. That's right.
But then again, one of the things that I think is happening here is ADOC wanted to grab a headline so that it makes it look like they're doing something when they're actually doing nothing. And this is rampant throughout Alabama politics. You've got different levels of agencies and agency heads that are getting out their press releases to say, oh, we're doing all this great stuff, when they're actually not doing anything.
That's right. That's right. Well, this is not a great headline to have when you have an epidemic drug problem in the prisons
exactly.
And you're out raiding schools. Hey, I don't want to dwell on this too long. Former Rep. Will Desmute, his trial for theft is coming due January 9th. He's been charged with first-degree property theft. He did not win his reelection, and I don't know if that's because of the property theft, because we've certainly reelected people that were under indictment, or that he was so involved in the Sons of the Confederacy, Josh. But his hearing will, or his trial will come due on January 9th after, almost 2 years?
Yeah, and, I think, honestly, a lot of the people there were turned off by Will Desmukes and his allegiance, I guess, to a couple of groups that were, known white supremacist groups.
Yeah.
And, I think that and his appearance at an event honoring a former KKK leader and, you know, that those sorts of things even in one of the most rural, whitest districts in Alabama, those things today turn people off. And there was a good guy that ran, he was on the city council of Prattville, ran against him. And the people there made the right decision.
Yeah. Coincidentally, I suppose. Former Speaker of the House, convicted felon, Mike Hubbard, prison term is set to end January 9th, Susan.
It is.
He got off with just serving 2 years. We should have served four.
He's supposed to serve four.
But the Supreme Court of Alabama gave him every break that they possibly could. Mr. Hubbard will still have to comply with the agreement of his parole.
Yes, and he will be marked as a felon, which will... deny him several rights as well.
He cannot be in politics anymore.
He can't be in politics. He can't vote. He can't, supposedly own a gun, et cetera. But, at least he did some time for what he did to people.
Josh, he reigned over an orgy of corruption like we have not seen in years. He got 2 years in jail. I don't think it was enough, but there it is.
Yeah, I don't, I'm hopeful that maybe Mike Hubbard learned something from this and maybe some other people learned some things out of this as well. And, if you look at the pattern of things that Mike Hubbard did, most of what he did in office was to benefit himself and his business partners and the people like him that don't really need help.
Yeah.
The goal should be there to go and to help those who need it the most in this state. And maybe some people will learn from the mistakes of Mike Hubbard. I doubt it. I hadn't seen a whole lot of change since he went to prison. But, at least we hadn't had anybody else convicted of such a thing.
All right. We're going to have to leave it right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. Merry Christmas.
Happy holiday. Happy holiday. While the merry bells keep ringing. Happy holiday.
Speed is one of the biggest factors in a fatal car crash. Your car stops, but your body does not stop at the same time. Your body keeps going, and that could be running into your seatbelt, that could be hitting the airbag, something has to stop it, and unfortunately, it's something very hard.
There have been times that we've come upon accidents where if people weren't speeding, they'd probably still be alive today.
It's truly dangerous, and it puts everybody at risk.
There's just no point to it.
This kind of stuff has got to stop.
My dog Jupiter is frightened when I climb too high, the owl said.
Check for monsters, Daddy.
I did, honey.
There are no monsters. You're perfectly safe.
Protect yourself and those you love. Vaccinate now.
This segment of The Voice of Alabama Politics is brought to you by the Alabama Rural Broadband Coalition.
Welcome back to The V, The Voice of Alabama Politics. I have to say, when I first read this report, I was semi-speechless. And I know you were, and Josh was as well, and that's something that's rare for us. But a lawmaker here in Alabama, his name is Ed Oliver. He was on a radio show in which he said that critical race theory was designed to sexualize little kids. Now, critical race theory has nothing to do with sexualizing children. It has to do with how racism in society has helped shape the laws and institutions that we have here in the United States. It's a theory. And when it's called critical, it doesn't mean it's being critical of something like some numbskulls think. Critical means to think critically, to analyze, to be critical about it. But Susan, this guy says, and ultimately, the reason the left wants to push critical race theory amongst little kids is simply they want to sexualize them.
First of all, critical race theory is available as a master's level elective. It's not in K-12. And it certainly has nothing to do with sexualizing children. I don't know how much further this guy could be off the mark, but once again, we've got somebody out there, a representative of our state, out there spouting stuff he absolutely knows nothing about and confusing people. This is just craziness.
Josh, he said that he thought in the House of Representatives they had the vote to get this passed. And one of the, he goes a little step farther in saying that these sexualized children will be left-leaning and they'll be woke. And then they'll have, because they're sexualized, they'll have more kids, and those will be woke leftists and so on and so forth.
Causing a divide.
It's just mind-boggling, right?
Josh is speechless, y'all. Take note.
It's one of those things where somebody says something that's so dumb and so wrong that you can't even respond to it. It's, you know, it's like saying, as if he came up to you and said, "Hey, man, your house is made of cheese." And you're just like, "What? What are you talking about? What?" You know, and it's just that this whole thing, I mean, it's sexualized. That's not, it doesn't have anything to do with CRT. Sexualized, I would love to hear somebody follow up and say, "What are you talking about with sexual? How does CRT sexualize children?"
Right.
It doesn't have any part of this. Not to mention that he's wrong, and the whole interview was wrong about the concepts of critical race theory as it is. I mean, you know, if you boil this down, I know it's been turned into this ugly word that the folks on the right love to talk about and preach about and say it's dividing America and all this sort of thing. But if we go back, I think we can all agree that there was a certain level of racism that took place in this country for quite some period of time, right? And that a number of laws were created over the years, not just in the South, but throughout the country, that marginalized and infringed upon the rights of black citizens and other minorities as well, and women for that matter. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this theory examines the effect of all of those years on those laws and how some of that stuff still maintains itself today in our society. Yeah. It's things that you would think a caring, loving human being that loves your neighbor, like, I don't know, I read that in a book one day, you would want to stamp out, you know. But instead, we've turned it into this politicized concept that gets you cheap votes from morons saying stuff like this and throwing in the word woke. It's so stupid.
We talked to a superintendent of schools who was talking about how he started getting all these calls about how they were critical race theory was being taught in the school. What was it, Susan?
It's not being taught in the school.
No, it was Black History Month.
Black History Month, right.
Yeah, he's Black History Month.
He said, yeah, we've got to call Black History Month.
Which is, you know, man, one other thing I want to say is, as a part of this, there is always this broad vilification of teachers, of public school teachers, the men and women who you go to church with, who you see in your neighborhoods, who your kids, you know, play with their kids every day, who you trust your kids with and you talk to all the time and you know them. But somehow or another, we have allowed these people who clearly don't know what CRT even is to convince you that these nameless, faceless teachers are somehow radicalizing your children to be woke leftists or whatever the hell that they're doing, you know?
Right.
And it's just, it's such nonsense for a group of people who take so much crap on a daily basis for so little pay.
That's right. Amen. I want to turn over to probably the biggest story of the year, Josh. You had a lot to do with popularizing this story. A 61-year-old and an 85-year-old, two women, one 61, one 85, were arrested in Wetumpka, Alabama, for feeding feral cats.
Yes.
The cat ladies, as they've become known, have a huge following now. And, you know,
let's just go on a little further and say they were found guilty on four charges of trespassing, interfering with governmental operations, and disorderly conduct for feeding cats.
We're feeding cats, Josh. You know the story better than anyone. So,
yeah. So they weren't just feeding cats, but they were feeding them. But they were putting the food out to trap the cats, because then they were going and having those feral cats spayed and neutered, and then releasing them back into wherever they were. Which is correcting the problem of feral cats. And so, you know, there are whole communities at work inside of large cities that do this on a regular basis, and the city often gives them money for this and praise for helping control the feral cat population. Instead, in Wetumpka, they decided to convict these ladies for doing this. And, you know, this is a whole drawn-out thing, and, you know, there were some allegations that one of the ladies had been overly critical of the mayor and that he had directed the cops to go out there, which, you know, one of the assistant chiefs in Wetumpka said that he did get a call from the mayor that day saying he had spotted the lady out feeding the cats and he wanted somebody to go up there. There was some disagreement over whether or not the mayor told them to arrest him, but I'll say there was a pretty severe response for some ladies feeding cats. There was three cop cars and four cops that went out to arrest these ladies. So,
well, ridiculous. You know, ridiculous.
These women are serious desperados up in Wetumpka.
Yeah, that's true.
Feeding and getting feral cats neutered and spayed. But we're going to have to leave it right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back. Meow.
Keep walking around, Christmas tree, have a happy holiday. Everyone dancing merrily in the new old-fashioned way.
$20. It won't buy much in the way of Christmas cheer. Yet it means plenty of hope for the homeless. Your $20 feeds 10 at the Jimmy Hale Mission. The more you give, the more we feed. Help us nurture those with nothing else and show them the true spirit of the season. To give, please call 323-5878 or visit jimmyhalemission.com today.
Throughout my career, I've seen many crashes, and a lot of the fatalities are from people who haven't worn their seatbelt.
Cars have rolled over multiple times. I've had people end up in lakes, ravines. I've been looking for people in the woods for a couple hours before.
Usually just about every bone in their body is broken, their organs have ruptured, and typically they die.
You want to save a life? Just simply click a button and put the seatbelt on.
Seatbelts really do save lives.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You know, it's really hard to get off that subject of these ladies being arrested.
Who are probably just, keep making sure all of them have warm places to go this weekend when it's so cold.
So insane.
Yeah.
But one of the things that's facing the state, and we talked to the Speaker of the House, Nathaniel Ledbetter, about this last week, is, Josh, the state is going to have $1 billion in ARPA money. That is the American Rescue Act that was passed. Nobody in Alabama, none of our House members voted for this. This was...
One did.
Who's
one
that? Terry Sewell. Our one Democrat voted for this, and it has basically given the state $2 billion to recover from what happened in COVID. So we have $1 billion left, Josh, that they're going to have to allocate. And Governor Ivey has said they need to do it for things that are lasting for the state, to do good things lasting for the state. But we'll see what they do.
Yeah, I can't wait to see how they misspend this. It's going to be awesome. I hope that she is good to her word on this. Because there are some lasting things that can be done. We all know where in which areas those lie, healthcare and education. And I think that she could put this money to very good use. I think that there are whole communities out there that could be better served. I saw a study yesterday that said that 23 counties in Alabama, 23 counties, whole counties, do not have a single pediatrician in them.
Right.
Wow.
So,
right.
You know.
Well, and then you've got the Black Belt with the sewage problems down through there that really need to be fixed. There's quite a few problems Alabama has that need to be addressed here.
And $1 billion. Now, I mean, if you're outside of government, $1 billion is a lot of money. And Alabama is a lot of money. Now, we have people out there that are calling for tax rebates. Now, again, this is tax rebates for money that came from the federal government. Now, it was tax dollars, let's face that. But it wasn't necessarily Alabama tax dollars. So,
right.
I mean, if you gave every family in Alabama $1,000, you would, that's 4 million, 4, 5 million people. That's a lot of money. A lot of money we would go through really quickly, and I don't know that it would change people's lives the way investments in infrastructure and healthcare and all that is. I think this is just foolishness on people that are all about let's give back money.
Well, they're looking for their next vote and not looking forward to the future of Alabama.
Yeah, it's a cheap political tool. It's a cheap political tool. It's something whenever you hand somebody a check. Like that, it's something that brings some goodwill to you, even if you don't necessarily need it. I think that the rebates that we received from the federal government during COVID, that some came from Trump, some came from Biden. I believe that those things were well spent at the time.
Yeah.
Because of the situations that we were in. But we're not in that situation right now. We have, record unemployment. We have a lot of people. Figure out some ways to do better workforce training so we can get better jobs around the state. Figure out a whole way to elevate folks up. And that's what we're looking for out of this, is figure out ways, meaningful ways that help the people of this state live better lives on a day-to-day basis. And I don't think $500-$600 per family is going to do that.
I'm saying right here, you can take my rebate. Just make sure you do something good with it, like everything Josh just talked about, like the sewage problems in the Black Belt, the health problems that we have in Alabama, mental health, all of these things. Take my money, please.
Yeah. Well, and there's so many infrastructure problems that broadband is a problem.
There's so many. That's the whole issue. There are so many.
And we also need to be careful, good stewards of how we spend this money. It's the people's money, but good stewards on how we spend it. I want to move on to something here. We got a good amount of time to talk this. We have been very privileged in Alabama to have been served by Richard Shelby. He will be retiring at the end of this term. Katie Britt on January 3rd will take her oath of office, and she will replace Senator Shelby. Susan, he is not only our longest serving senator, he is a legend in doing good for the people of Alabama and putting Alabama first.
He is. Richard Shelby has done so much for the state. He has taken care of his constituents, all of us, for many, many years now. And among all of those achievements, if you just look at the Huntsville area, you look at the Port of Mobile for two instances of how he's taken the money that was available in Washington, brought it back home, put it to work to cause growth, cause jobs. It's just amazing.
Josh, you know, we may not have always agreed with Senator Shelby's policies or things that he did, but I think we all can agree that he did it as a statesman and a gentleman, mm-hmm. and did truly care about getting the job done for everyone and not just party politics.
Yeah, I think, you can. I respect Richard Shelby a lot for the way he's conducted himself. He's an old school kind of senator that went and did a job and kind of stayed out of the limelight for the most part. You know, there were times, obviously, when he made public statements and public comments, but he wasn't one of those guys that was out there all the time seeking to up his status through media interviews and things like that. And I respect that, and I respect what he's done for the state. You know, we talked about this on our podcast last week and talked about his floor speech and in which he pointed out some of the problems that are facing Congress and what he hopes for going forward. And, you know, it's obvious that he saw a problem with what was going on. And so, you know, my only real quibble with Richard Shelby as he winds down here is that he didn't take a bigger stand against what I think he clearly saw as a problem from the former president, putting himself first and, you know, the January 6th attacks and things. I felt like there were bigger gains that could have been made towards this bipartisanship and this working towards the country and putting the country first that could have been made if folks like Richard Shelby, Mitch McConnell, and some of the other more centrist Republicans had kind of come together and took a stand against this, a little more public stand at least. But, you know, like I said, that's in a long career, that's the end of it, you know, and I think that overall, you look at what Richard Shelby has done for this state, and who can argue with what the man has done?
That's right. Well, we wish Senator Shelby and his wife, Dr. Shelby, a happy and long retirement. We have been blessed to have them serve our state. You've been watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You watch us because we watch them. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.